Okay. Well,
take a roll too.
Okay. Verbally. Okay. So, welcome everybody. Appreciate you being here. I'm so glad I see Mike coming, so we can turn the time over to him.
There you go, Mike.
We're going to take a quick verbal roll for the record, and we'll just go around the table. We do have a visitor here from Linden Elementary, as well as our other administrative intern here as well. So we'll just start here and go around the table. Mike Bearden, counselor here at the school, co-chairman.
My name is Shari Taylor. I'm TSA. Hi, Lori. I'm TSA at Linden. I also work with Gifted Services at the district department, so I know a lot about your tech program.
For those of us who didn't go through acronym 101,
ACAD, Academic Studies, which is advanced 7th and 8th grade.
Okay, and TSA is?
Program. TSA, Teacher on Special Assignment. Basically a vice principal at teacher pay.
All right. That's awesome.
Yeah.
So she makes more money.
No one.
Jody Murphy, school community.
Ann Probert, parent.
Scott Sumner, principal, Oak Canyon.
Lori Belletti, intern visiting here. Lisa Larson, secretary.
Mike Travis, co-chair.
Darla Baker, parent on the council.
Tammy Mickelson, parent.
Laura Belknap, parent.
Jennifer Batchelor, teacher librarian.
Colin Green, assistant principal.
Great. You want to take over, Mike?
You're doing a great job. I think you should just keep
going.
Okay.
Well, we are going to present the minutes, and our, I guess Lisa will read those, and then we'll vote to accept those or not.
Okay. I'll just do a synopsis of what we talked about. We talked about internet safety, and we also discussed the action plan. Talked a little about what we were going to do in the action plan, decreasing the overall percentage of students who are failing classes. We talked about teacher collaboration, and we talked about the DRSLs, as well as methods to improve quality and timely communication with parents. We then talked about the school improvement plan and ways that we are working to accomplish the goals that are in the school improvement plan. We talked about READ 180 and our guided studies classes, as well as math lab and attendance accountability. We then talked a little bit about the trust funds and how the money is being spent, and discussed My Access, the Explore test, the CRT numbers, guided studies. We discussed the math lab and READ 180. And then we talked a little bit about the school improvement plan, but we decided we would talk a little bit more about that in this meeting because we ran out of time.
I move that we accept the minutes.
I second. All in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
All opposed, say nay. The ayes have it. I don't know how to do this.
That's really good.
All right. So, just for your information, much of our agenda are things that we have discussed multiple times in previous meetings that we're going to mostly be putting to a vote. We'll have some brief discussion. We want to really get down to number four as quick as we can. We'll have I think Mr. Sumner is going to kind of give us a little bit on the...
We've had some construction.
Right, no, but I mean on the other parts, and then we'll vote on them. So the school improvement plan, do you want to pass that out?
Let me pass this around to everybody. There probably won't be enough copies, so share if you're not an official member of School Community Council, but happy to give you a copy of it after, if there's not enough. I think there's 15, so we'll be close. This is just to recap what we talked about last time, some of the ideas, conversations we had about the school improvement plan. Ideas, one of the things that we want to do as a school is, when we look at our trust lines dollars, when we look at our school improvement plan, and we look at our school goals, we want all of those to align. We don't want to have you know, something over here, and something over here, and something back there. We want to have everything coordinate together, and all of that is in the process of student learning. Are we that short? Oh, did you guys get a copy? Okay. So the school improvement plan, you'll see very similar parts of it to our trust plan's dollars. There's three parts to our school improvement plan with three goals. One is to decrease the number of failing students by 5% in each grade level. Second goal is to improve reading and writing for students that have been identified as struggling. And our third goal is to improve the overall math scores of students that have been identified as struggling. The targeted students are those students that have a failing grade the previous year or previous term. Our other targeted students are those that we identify through CRTs, through our DRA, through our DWA, and like I said, the end of level, direct writing assessments and direct reading assessments. Yeah, don't let us do the acronym game with you. If you tell us, if we don't know, then shame on us.
And also meeting with the elementary teachers.
Oh. Graduates. And meeting with those teachers, and they'll recommend names of students that struggle. So going down to our action steps, that's at the very bottom of the page. There's five areas that we want to accomplish those three goals with. We want to use e-time. E-time is just that continual review and renewal of what we do to help identify students that need help and give them extra time and support to do that. We talked a little bit that last time about the three levels now that we have in e-time. I can see from the office level of our e-lunch program. So we have regular e-time. Anybody with EF or I grade, they automatically have to go to that teacher with a different slip. If they have C's or better, they get to choose anything in the building. They can go to a teacher for help. They can go read in the library. They can attend a movie. But it's all determined on grade, and it's systematic. Everybody gets a grade printout every day. The middle tier of our pyramid during e-time is directed e-time. A teacher can call for students. For example, our PE teacher will say, hey, I need these 20 kids. They missed the mile run, and they're not going to get out of it. So she calls for them, and they're directed to her PE class. Or a teacher, I know in a couple of areas, they said these students have not mastered concepts, so I'm highlighting their names and I want them to come to my class so I can reteach the concepts that are missed. And our third level is our e-lunch, which is exactly what it stands for. They get to work during lunch with an adult. It's a very small ratio of students. Today it was 1-on-11, so they can actually work on assignments that are submitted by teachers, and then if they complete them, it's a quick in, quick out, check them off the list once they complete the work. If not, they can jump, they can also continue on through, can you grab another chair? Then they can work. Continue to work through lunch. So that's our e-time step, is to continue to work with all students at the school. And also, one of our goals there is also to provide opportunities for students that already do understand the information for enriched activities, things that are fun. I know I brought this up in the last meeting, but I'm still just so impressed with it. Anytime you can get 200 junior high kids in one place and have them focus on a goal, that's phenomenal. That needs to be recognized as much as possible. That's Jen in the library to get these students.
Not quite 200.
300?
No.
Well, I mean, how many do you have? One.
We usually get about 120.
120. Okay, so 120 kids in the library at one time, junior high, and they're all engaged in reading. It's amazing. So. We also have our Principals Academy that we've been using, but I think eLaunch is really going to take the place of that. But we also have our student support team that meets each week. We identify each student with a failing grade. We talk about them. We send a systematic email out each week if they have a failing grade, so parents are aware of what we're seeing, and we engage as much as possible to try to help provide that assistance for these students. Our action step number two is we want to provide a Read 180 and my Read 180 classes and my access. Read 180 is a, Mike, maybe you can tell us a little about Read 180, some of the stuff that you've seen.
Read 180, for those who aren't familiar with it, it's a reading program that helps students that are at grade level or below that need additional help in their reading, not only in their speed, their accuracy, comprehension. Phenomenal program. I have one child who just reading was not his forte at all. Went through the Read 180 program outstanding reader right now. Leaps and bounds ahead of where he was. Comprehension is incredible. That program really is designed for, it's a target for, I believe it's 7th grade is the target of coming out of elementary school where they're, I'm trying to think, what do they call that? Is it the is it a CRT test?
Yeah.
And that's on a scale of 1, I think 1 to 4, 1 to 5?
4.
1 to 4. That score, I think it's 3 and below.
2 and below.
2 and below.
Anybody who scores 2 and below?
Yep. They get the 3-180 class.
And so,
in
it's...
English?
Mm-hmm. So, great program. Highly recommend that program. That is one I'll defend to my dying breath.
And my access as well is every student in the building has a site license for my access to its online submissions of writing samples. So we have data that we shared last time that shows the improvement from the first submission to the last. So students are, the goal is to have constant writing, constant reflection, constant opportunity to put stuff on paper, to be thinking through, and they get lots and lots of practice to do so. So we can show the scores from the first submission to the last submission as a very solid increase of the score from the 6 traits of writing is how the measurement tool is for that. You'll notice that with the Trust Lines dollars, we want to provide a 7th to have for the Read 180 class, to have a teacher teach it, and also a site license for everybody in the building to have the My Access score, and that's part of the Trust Lines we'll get to as well. Action Step 3 is a Guided Math and a Guided Studies class. These are smaller classes. It's a more one-on-20, one-on-15 situation where a teacher can work directly with a student that give them goals, organizational skills to help them be prepared in school and be prepared in classes, gives them extra time and support that they can talk with. We're kind of lumping those two together as Guided Math and Guided Studies because we've had both this year. We've only funded Guided Studies through the Trust Lines, but we've had Guided Math that we funded through the school. We've kind of lumped those together as we kind of look at needs next year, which we're not exactly sure yet with FTEs, with the number of full-time teacher expenditures that we get, but we will we'll definitely look at, if we can fund one for math and one for Guided Studies, that's kind of our hope, or two of Guided Studies, just to provide whatever sort of support is needed for that reading goal, writing goal, and math goal for the school improvement plan. Please interrupt me at any point if you have any questions. And then step number 4 on the last page is a math lab. We've done this with great success. We shared some of the data last time where we've had, I think it was 47 students in a 6-week period that had accessed our math lab after school. This is to use Trust Lines dollars and put it in our school improvement plan to help scores and help students improve and gain confidence in math by having a certified teacher after school take an hour 3 times a week where they can help students come in and kind of like your college math lab. You just go in and say, I've got a question, can you help me? And the teachers are there to offer that support. And we're asking for $1,000 to cover the hourly rate for the whole school year for different teachers that will do that. Have to be math certified. You don't want me in there. I can give them a history test, but not going to have their math score.
In addition to the teacher, there are student peer tutors as well that are recruited to help.
Yeah, and we're actually talking about, and this is something that I'm glad Margie's here, Marjorie, because one of the things we've done really well with PTA this year is our service initiative, and these opportunities for these kids, I want to write a letter, give them a certificate so they can start putting in portfolios because they're volunteering their time that they can put for student scholar, applications or any type of college scholarship that they can put, hey, I was volunteering or helping at this, and it's, these kids have really done a great job helping in these after-school tutoring sessions. So,
if they attend a minimum amount, they also receive, if they're a ninth grader, high school elective credit. Peer tutor credit.
This doesn't have much to do with this, but it's something that I heard that another school is doing, and I know our science scores are kind of the ones that we want there. They've selected, really stellar 8th grade science students that are going into 9th grade, and they give them an elective class, and they actually come in and they teach lessons to the 8th graders or the 7th graders, and they're just there to give additional help to the science teachers that you know, there's, I think in the school that I heard of, was just one class that had three additional peer tutor type thing for each class. But anyway, you said that it's really been a great opportunity for these kids that it do really well already and might see some kind of difference in our scores.
I love those ideas because we've got so many great kids here. If we give them those opportunities, we've done something similar with our math guided studies, where Algebra 2 students or Geometry students, if they have applied for a peer tutor, we take them, we kind of screen them out of the list and see if they want to be a tutor in our math classes as their peer tutor class. We've got a number of these kids that have done that exact thing. I think it's a great idea that gives another option. Great. The last for our school improvement plan, last step is attendance accountability. We have really hit attendance really hard this year with our tardies. Of course, that's been a quick target to get them to class on time. We've seen a big difference with accessing the curriculum because they're there on time. They don't waste time during the school day. But also with excused absences and unexcused absences. Once they meet a certain threshold, we're sending letters home. We've seen it. I don't have data to show you right off the bat, but it'd be easy to find that shows a quick decrease in attendance just because I think a lot of times parents aren't necessarily aware that their students miss so many class periods until they get a truancy citation from the school and they're like, why am I getting this? And then you're like, well, you've missed 20 class periods. And the response is, it's a warning at first, but if it gets become problematic, then we do have other options of truancy school and truancy citation where they have to go before juvenile court judge, and that's way down the road, but hopefully we can provide an intervention along the way before we have to get to that point. But our goal is to show an increased attendance for all students, where students have a great attendance, they'll do better in classes because they have access to the curriculum. That's what we'd like to submit as our school improvement plan. If you notice, it is aligned very well with our trust plan's dollars, with the READ 180, My Access, the guided studies. The one thing that we talked about last time that I thought was a great point is we kind of identified our school improvement plan as areas of struggling need, not necessarily areas of advanced need. Where we've identified some of the areas of advanced need is we're also looking at paying a seventh of a teacher's salary for our AP geography program. And I think the quick clarification of would we have AP geography without trust lands? Yes, we would have to because we'd want to offer it for our students. But the difference is it shows, I think, a good message from our school community council that this is what we value. And this is what we want to put our money towards is students that struggle, but also students that are excelling. And then everybody in between. So it's a kind of an umbrella amongst all the students that we can show an effort that this is what we want to spend our money on that we're given from the state. So that's the school improvement plan.
Shall we vote to accept, or do we need to open it up for suggestions? I think we've done that in the past. Can we vote as is here?
If there are suggestions or other ideas.
I think maybe exploring the science thing at a later date would be good,
yeah.
But I think, can we... Does somebody else need to move to... Can I move?
I think you'd put it to a vote, and then we'd second, and then ayes or nays. But quick thing with the science, I think that's something we've got notes that we can look at as we look at peer tutors and such for next year.
I don't know if it'd be trust lines, but I just think it'd be a good idea.
I like it.
Like when I'm teaching balancing equations, it would be so nice to have somebody pull a group of kids out and do one-on-one help.
So, do we move to accept these?
Yeah.
I second it.
Okay. Those in favor, say
aye.
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 Those opposed? They're accepted. So, moving on to the trust lands. For a quick report and then vote.
So go back.
Do you have the paperwork? Send them around and the one will come in.
That's what I did.
Nothing has really changed so much from the last time that we looked at it. Thought it was my need to work with the trust plan. Didn't you love the video?
Moving.
They were moving.
Riveting, yeah. That would be the...
It was perfectly sufficient for its purpose.
Yeah, that's great.
That was the most diplomatic answer I've ever heard.
Okay, so the amount that we've been allocated at this point is $44,590, which normally is a little lower than what they actually give us. And we find out about that later after we've turned everything in. Then our carryover from this year will be approximately $3,676. So our allocation will be about $48,266. So the AP geography is one section, which is $8,435. Math lab was $1,000 that Mr. Sumner mentioned. Guided studies is two sections, and that's $9,678. And then Read 180 is one section, and that's $6,788. And those are, there are other sections of those classes, but those are the ones that trust fund will pay for. Then we have to pay the benefits on top of that, which is 24%. And so that comes out $6,217. If you drop down to the next one, these were the ones that we talked about last time and added in. Stakeholders report, that would be $2,000 to help get that printed and out to our patrons and stakeholders. And then projector bulbs, which is an ongoing need for the school because every classroom has a projector in it, and the bulbs last 3+ years, it depends. So when they come up, they're pretty expensive, so we put some money in for that. And then textbooks. I just put textbooks there, primarily science textbooks is what we're looking at because we're trying to get the new science books for our science department. And so those textbooks, I actually went in and figured out how much we really needed for that. It was about 13,000, but if we do 5,000, then our textbook account can probably cover the rest of that and we'll be good.
I had a question about textbooks. I know we haven't talked about it in trust lines, but is math getting all new textbooks too? Because they're going to that new textbook. Is that the question you were
asking? Great. I was just asking the same thing.
That's one of the things that we definitely need to, I want to talk about here because we are moving to the Utah State Core next year, and it will be a new curriculum. There will be some new texts and new materials. I think the best plan that we've had some great discussions. Alpine has moved very methodically through it to get lots of input, lots of just direction, make sure we have a good solid plan. I've been very impressed working with our curriculum folks talking about it, but one of the things that I've loved is they are going to let the school by school make the decision for the materials. And so I'm going to get information tomorrow at my principal's meeting to say when they'd like these time frames done, but there's going to be some parental input meetings for all the texts that we are going to be using, or all the texts that are available to look at. I'll send an invitation out to every parent to come in and give input and look at them. Please pass that up. One of the great things we have here within our building is our math department's been very involved in using some of the books, seeing what they're like, getting recommendations. We're meeting, our math team's meeting with all the feeder school elementary schools on Monday to get their input, talk about them, kind of do that vertical alignment. And then once we gather all that input, then be looking for an email to get all these, a number of parent input meetings of what you'd like to see us do. We'll give recommendations, but then we'll also be gathering input, and then from there we'll make a decision along with the community of what fits our needs best.
Is there plenty of money for new textbooks for math?
Yes. Yeah. Well, of course, I don't have a check in hand, but there's going to be, our district knows they want to do it right, and they want to make sure that our kids are taken care of. We're allocated a certain dollar amount every year for textbooks. They're going to enlarge that budget quite a bit. One of the books they're looking at, all the publishing companies know,
they come up with the text yet?
Yeah, there's been three companies now that have really gone above and beyond to really address that need. And I think that's what's been fun to see is you've got textbook companies now that are just, this is like a brand new market. They're like, we're talking millions of dollars for statewide for this court. So these textbook companies are going to want to have their ducks in a row. And so they're definitely doing their part to engage us to show the benefits of their book, and then we'll in turn show the same to you as well with other things. And some of the input from our own math department that it is the best in the district,
they've
if not the state of Utah. And their recommendation is going to be, I think a lot of schools are kind of looking what our math department's going to be doing as well to get input. So,
yeah.
So yes, the answer is yes. I think we'll be very well taken care of with textbooks.
I think initially we'll probably be dealing with packets and of text and things, not start out the year with brand new textbooks for everyone, because they want to look closely and make the right choice.
Mm-hmm.
And purchase the right book. So,
well,
not going to necessarily.
Yeah, I think a lot of the textbook companies now are starting to realize it's the same discussion that I think we've had with some of the textbook. Is it's a hard book that you put in your bag and you use a little bit here and there. But I think some of the textbook companies with the math stuff is now looking at, they want an adaptable book, but you can't do that if you do a hardback cover book. It's hard to insert pages without stapling or hot gluing. And so some of this stuff is going to be, we want to make sure we have online stuff. We want to make sure, not exclusively online, but I think they want to have something that's adaptable. So if it is comes in chunks, if it comes in chunks, it's going to be not like it's going to be a copied version for this year. It'll be a nice, almost like a what they're looking at with a couple of the book companies is it's more like a workbook type book that's renewable every year that they can look at and redo. So if they add changes or boy, that page doesn't make sense or it aligns with the core better, then they'll switch the book for next year, but it'll be the same cost of the book that we've already paid. So there's some really innovative things that they're trying to do with these books. They're trying to really do it right.
One thing with math is I think you really do need a textbook.
Agreed.
Out of all the classes, I mean, everything else you can kind of look up online,
mm-hmm.
but to try to look up math facts or math concepts online is much more difficult than it is to, you know, look up.
Well, isn't the textbook we're talking about, the textbook, it is online.
It both.
Yeah, so the parents can go right to that book and look, I mean, get them hopefully better because that's what we're saying.
Marjorie, I think that's the same consensus of what our team's saying is online's not, a solid online program would be very difficult. I mean, imagine if you have two students that need to have a computer for a couple hours each. I don't know, it just becomes problematic at home too. I think they still want to see that as a reference and as a resource to be able to pull from.
And realizing that parents need references like me when I
yeah, I mean, I have to go and look at
every
chapter so that I can help my kids.
Yeah.
Answer their questions. So I need
their time.
Yeah.
Well,
are they all prepped for this? Is there extra time for the teachers to adapt to that?
Yeah. In fact, we have a number of curriculum here that can answer some of the stuff. But one of the, in the summertime, our math and language arts teachers are getting extra days paid to come in and collaborate towards the new course. So they're
the
implementing
whole department will streamline into it, right? It's not going to, they're not going to be left to choose what they want to do, right?
Correct.
The whole department will choose the same thing.
Yeah, school by school. Yep. But there will be time in the summer for our departments in language, because language arts is getting a new core as well, and as well as math. So they're going to have time in the summer to get together, knock out some of the ideas and the planning. And I can make a guarantee they'll be, our teachers are going to be fully prepared, very ready to hit the ground running day one. With textbooks, materials, and the curriculum set.
So
that's just the kind of people we work with.
Did we make it to the end of this, or did we get stalled on textbooks?
No, I'm still going.
Okay.
Well, given that, we decided to ask you if we could put any added funding that came from the state of Utah to be used for textbooks. So if we have an overage in that they give us, if they give us 3,000 more, or however much they can give extra, they come at the formula they use when they find and see how much the trust fund has earned for the year, and then they can see how much they can expend. But that's the one thing that we wanted to put before you and see what you think about that, because it was a little bit different than that last year. And then equipment is my access, so that's $8,085, and that's $735 each student subscription. That's the price I
heard last year. Yeah, so Colleen, we're not going to go for any carryovers then.
What?
No carryover then.
the carryover was at the top.
Yeah, but I'm saying for next year, there's no, you don't want to have any carryover for next year?
We're hoping not to, yeah.
Okay.
We're trying to use it up. We just had a little bit this year, but where our carryover has always come is in hours. So if someone's not there and they're on a time card, then those hours go back into the pool. And so that has happened sometimes with the with the hours. Or the stakeholders report may cost a little bit less, or that we don't use as many as vaults as we think we will.
Yeah.
That's the kind of thing that we have to go into carryover. But mostly the extra money is whatever the state would say, okay, instead of 44,590, you're going to get 46,335 or something like that. We just don't know. It may just be what it is. But usually it's a little more.
So any further clarification needed on that?
Colleen?
Yeah.
And this is for Margie.
Thanks.
So I'm going to take lack of response as we don't need any further clarification there. I move that we put this to a vote. Okay, those in favor of accepting the trust lands budget, say aye.
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 Those opposed? Trust lands accept? Okay. Now, tell us how to be safe walking. Obviously, everybody knows about the construction. So,
do you want to jump in with what you know, or do you want me to jump in with what I know?
You want me to jump in with what I know?
With your
not everything you know, but applicable stuff.
It's a mess.
Yeah.
The way the schedule is working right now, as you know, 200/2,000, depending on which way you're going. If you're in Linden, it's 200 south. Orem is 2,000 north. That is going to be closed for the next 3 weeks.
Just the one section, right?
Just that one section.
Yeah.
Right where that Main where the canal goes over.
Yeah.
After that, then they're going to jump. So that will be finished, paved, ready to go. Then they're going to jump over to 800 over in Orem. So it's going to affect when you go around the turn to where the old Word Perfect campus is.
800 east.
That's
800 east.
Yeah. I just
know it is
800.
You need to go to Provo, Foothill, the Canyon.
So, yeah. So that one is going to be the next. That's going to be the next road closure. And that's going to be down for 3.5 weeks, maybe 4.
Oh, my goodness.
8th north.
Yeah.
Eight
east.
It's 8th east.
Oh, over by the cemetery.
By the cemetery.
Oh,
that's bad. But
that's super bad.
8th north.
Yeah. It's really going to impact whatever that elementary and junior high is right over there. So whoever have students, I think we do have some students that attend there that feed into here, you guys will be greatly impacted. Huge, huge impact. Then after that, the next school that gets really impacted is the one over just off of Main Street over here.
Windsor?
Is it Windsor?
Mm-hmm.
That had that little side street.
Northridge.
Is that
Northridge, the one right
Main
here?
Street?
Main Street is Windsor.
Yeah.
Well, there's Northridge too.
But Northridge is
Northridge.
You go down the hill on Main Street, you get to that four-way stop, and you hang a left.
That's Northridge.
Okay, that's the next school that gets impacted after that. Then after all that is said and done, then we're going to go back over to Center Street here in Linden and finish filling in Center Street. In all of that time, we will not have any crossing from 900 East in Linden across to where that canal is. And they're not going to provide any route across that, which I've talked to Ames Construction about and let them know under no uncertain terms that that is not acceptable because we're talking not having any access until June at a bare minimum. And we've got too many students where parents are relying on their students to walk to school. And we just can't have that shut down for that long. They've got to come up with something. So I'm working with Andy Stratton over at Ames Construction to find a couple of decent walking routes that'll bypass the canal construction so we can have students going back and forth. That's what I know so far. Yeah. It's going to be a mess. Everybody's going to hate life for the next 3 months. But when it's all said and done, hopefully we'll have something really fun to
look
at.
What about through the WordPerfect technology way area? Is that going to be open that whole time? Well, there's 8 D's, but there's also through technology way. I know that's been torn up. Is that going to...
That's
they're not shutting that down. Well, I know, but they're not shutting that down all the way, are they?
Because,
see, you can cut through there and go over to 12 North to get to those other schools.
I don't know what they... I didn't discuss any of those. I just discussed with them their public street access, what they're closing. And so, and got that schedule from them. And it's not a pretty schedule.
No,
but
I know one of the things I had... When we saw the mess up there, we made phone calls all over the place, trying to Orem and Linden and this construction company and the PR people. And finally, we talked to them on Friday, I think it was when we were making, when Colleen was making all the phone calls on Friday. When they came Monday morning and said, what's going on? And I sat down with them. I apologize, I didn't really have a time frame of when they would come or I'd invited, you know, everybody there. But they were there Monday morning at 8 a.m., this Andy and Scott. And they were both very, very accommodating in that when they recognized there was me, they're like, they kind of looked at each other like, oh. And that's when the flaggers went up on the top. And when we went up the first time, they were just standing there and we're like, guess what? This is how a crossing guard works. And we got them to sign out. And it was fun. I'll tell you what, that was, I enjoyed that. And Colleen and I talked about it. It was fun to go up there and help walk kids
after
across the road.
Days, Ben,
And Scott was really rocking the orange vest. I have to
was trying to do that. Moves and that.
You're the only one who would wave.
Oh, really?
They're not wavers.
They're not.
I don't think they get enough chocolate.
I think they get too many.
But it was good to see that end of it. But one of the things that Andy and Scott said was, while at least 2,000 is in disarray, they're going to have a walking route through, at least through that. So for the next 3 weeks, right now the sidewalk's open. I went up there this morning and there's a sidewalk all the way through. They don't want to get off the sidewalk, that's for sure, because there's big trucks and holes and all that kind of stuff, but right now there's a sidewalk. My understanding, and once we clarified that, they said, we'll do that, we'll put a fence up, make sure it's safe. We have a couple other options. If we can at least get them to that point, we can open up the gates, make them walk on our property, so there's another fence there. But that's something we're going to go look at and make sure after the construction's done or in the process of. We'll just be watching it daily to see as it changes. I drive the freeway every day from here to Payson, and I'll tell you what, it changes every day. You know, normally you just get on there and put on cruise control.
You'll miss your exit.
No, it's all over the place. So we're going to watch that daily and see what happens. It was interesting because that same day, about 2 o'clock, I had a gentleman from Linden City come in, and he's like, look, we just found out. This is what's going on. We're so sorry. We're trying to work on it. I'm like, we're good. I've been promised, you know, we're going to have a walk around. He goes, I haven't heard that. And so he called Andy, and sure enough, that's how Andy said, yes, I did promise that. We're going to take it. So we've got our school community council.
Fault.
No, but this is the communication that's going out to everybody is we've got our school community council involved. We've got our PTA involved. We've got Linden City. We've got Orem City. Our officers, Ben, he called Orem City. We had officers up there. I mean, there's a big joint effort to try to make sure our kids are safe. And I think that's just the number one goal. It's going to be messy. But I think as I get information, I will definitely send it out to our council so you can update. And I'll try to send it out through email and phone call to everybody. I know not everybody needs it, but I don't. Ooh, there's no other way to separate it.
One of the things that I noticed is that somehow it would be nice to have parents talking with their students about it because they are just not thinking, you know, and that's a dangerous place not to think about what you're doing. You know, they can't step off the sidewalk. They can't push each other around or whatever. Everyone's real careful. Everyone's watching, but you don't want any kind of a little... But the kids are just like, oh, this is cool, you know, and they're heading up there.
Walking four abreast on that sidewalk.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, please don't step out in front of me.
Right.
And I just think getting them behind the fence would be a great idea if we could.
Yeah, and that's something we'll, in fact, we'll go look up after this meeting and just go take a look at it, because our goal is to make sure kids are safe. And that's when I sent the email out. After this, I think we're going to be okay for this phase of it. Well, 2000 is close because we're going to have that walking route. But I heard a great story about assessing situations, and we'll just have to assess the situation. And, you know, we'll be very assertive when we need to with the construction folks. And they're listening. And so I think that's, you know, but we having a joint, a good voice, a solid voice from our parents and our community, which this provides, I think is very powerful because they know the school's on board. They know our parents are on board, and we just need to keep that going. So as you hear stuff, please don't assume that I've heard or Mike's heard or anybody else. Share it if you've heard it, and let's talk it through because, I don't know, sometimes you don't want to be the last to know, so share it with people if you do hear something more, a secret about something going on. But we'll definitely make sure that we're doing everything we can to navigate these construction waters.
Has there ever been discussion on the safety of the crosswalk at Main Street and where you turn into Canyon? Because I carpool in the morning, and I have seen multiple times where kids are almost hit in the crosswalk.
Just out.
They need a light for those kids to cross. Yeah. And there are cars that are turning the main, and the kids come in across the crosswalk, and then cars come forward, and I've almost seen kids get hit in that crosswalk. And then also the one,
same thing with
the one right where you turn into the
school. Onto the school. Yeah, into the school.
The district's in a continuous
problem
and discussion.
I don't know why they can't even stop that.
Well, nobody wants to claim responsibility. Yeah. It's the boundary between Linden
and Orem.
And it's the whole who's going to pay for this
so
and who's going
to
do.
We need to take that. The councils do. We need to go.
You,
to
I think.
It can't be through the school. It has to be through the city council.
I've approached the district about getting a crossing guard there, and their feedback to me was, it's a junior high school. And they're old enough.
No, not when they're big cars that don't do that.
They had a crossing guard at Pleasant Grove Junior years ago, right in the front.
They still do.
They still do.
I drive by
there. Oh, what's that?
I don't know. That was.
I bet he's there for the elementary school though.
But part of the problem is not just people that can't see; it is parents who are willfully disobeying the law.
They're in a hurry.
Well,
I mean, they will be kids in the crosswalk. There will be kids here and kids here, and I see parents just go right through.
They're in a big hurry.
Just being up there for the couple days that I was up there,
makes me really
there
mad.
Were. I mean, I was. I wish I had a pen to take license plates.
Oh, the policemen could just be handing out tickets.
They were. I mean, when it says 15 miles an hour, if there were trucks going 40, 45,
mm-hmm.
I mean, it was cars going that fast. So I agree.
Well, we've had discussion for years ongoing with, like, putting some of those road narrowing things
and bumps in the road.
What they need is that giant speed bump that takes the bottom of the car out.
We have
well, the narrower things, the narrowing things I've read are more effective.
Well, that
the visual narrowing causes people to slow down more than a speed bump, which they eventually get used to and just ignore.
Let me do some checking, and that will be one of the things we put in the notes, that I can see what the district says.
What does a crossing guard cost?
You can push, like when you're viewing the headlights for pedestrians, not just for cars to cross. Pedestrians with a push.
You know, Utah Valley University, down off just off of campus at UVU, they've done a couple of these flashing lights so that students can actually push the button. It'll flash, then it goes solid red. You can't proceed through, and then it will start to flash again after the crosswalk is empty, and then if there's nobody there, you can actually proceed through on that flashing red. But our students,
they wouldn't do it.
Our students would look at those as toys. Knowing I have a son here, and.
Well, we
just from experience, I know what he would do with it.
Pleasant Grove High School, they have flags.
They stay there, I know. The kids actually are pretty respectful of the flag.
They're not 12.
They have a light like you were talking about right in front of Lone Peak High School now, between Lone Peak and the Walmart up there, because I get stopped by it almost daily.
It's bright.
But, I mean,
it's dark, and you can't, and then the red light comes on, and
Well, let me do this. Let me do some checking with the district. I I've gotten to know the people at the city very well. One of the things we're going to do, Orem principals and Lyndon, we're going to go to the city council meetings. We're going to present our stakeholder report to them and talk to the city councils about the schools and, you know, thank them for supporting education. But that's one of the things I can bring up with a few of them there and just see where it goes, because to have the conversation.
You can show a little video clip so they really see, like a little YouTube, you know, here, let me show you what's happening.
Well, I can promise you nothing will get done unless we say something and do something about
well,
it.
Well, and if they don't see it, I don't think, you know, we sit there and we think, oh, yeah, see, I don't.
Bring my son, he can talk about it.
Yeah, but a lot of the students also think they're invincible.
That's
and
true.
They don't look. It's
they don't look.
And I crossing kind of what is that by the from the band room, they'll just walk straight in front of cars, just in like where the buses. They don't pull up. They walk in front of the school buses every day.
And do you have any statistics though of anyone that's gotten hurt or injured? Because I know in Springfield where we lived there, and we had that major highway that kids were having to cross. The attitude was, so how many's been killed? I mean, they wanted data, and no one had really been killed or injured, so...
Well, and I can tell you, in 7 years that I've been here, there's been one student been hit by a car, but the car was turning, and the kid hit the car on a skateboard, so...
It was the kid's fault.
It was the kid's fault. So, I mean, I haven't heard of any... But, I mean, that's what we want. We don't want anyone to get hurt, but even if we can be proactive on it. Let's see where we can.
And I think we could have school safety officers go out and give tickets in the morning, because if you're breaking the law, you run through a crosswalk when someone's there.
Yep.
And I think people
and
just
sometimes
don't
you don't see the kids there because there's a car turning here and they're coming.
Mm-hmm.
That one right by the cell towers is kind of angled, so it's interesting. It's very, very dangerous.
You know, there are places I drive all the time where they just have a police car parked there. With nobody in it.
Yeah.
You know, the car they could just park up there by it.
Well, it was funny to see there was
one
Orem officer parked up on one of the
days.
You know.
And they were writing tickets on that the one morning, but people would see that officer and you would just.
Brake lights.
Oh, yeah. I mean, not just brakes. You'd see the front end hit the, you know, go down, because they are definitely aware when officers up there. But I don't know. It's for our student safety.
Isn't it Penguich that has the fake one? There's like a car with a fake police
on it. It's
on the way to hell.
Over by Orchard, they have the narrowing, and then they have the yellow poles.
Right,
I think something like that would be, and then they have the flashing lights without being a stop sign.
There's city council meeting for 28th, I believe.
So are we done with safe walking routes, or
yep.
Maybe we should call it unsafe walking route?
Yeah,
hopefully safe walking. Okay, school professional development. I think I know what this is, but
yeah, we have the opportunity on Monday to hear our teachers present the great work they've been doing within their departments on Collaboration Monday, Early Out Mondays, and they're going to do presentations. It's an incentive pay, so our district offers money to teachers to demonstrate how they can demonstrate students' learning and progress they're making in their classes. And those are based on the four essential questions. What do we want students to know? How do we know they've learned it? What do we do when they're not learning? And what do we do when they already do know? And our teachers are presenting Monday. Part of their score is a parent score. I'd love to get as many. I know PTA sent a list around, but we'd love to have, you don't have to come for the full 4 hours. If you can come in an hour shift, we'll take it, and we'll show you the rubric, show how it works. I'm sure Mr. Murphy over there is excited to, you know, take care of this too. But
I don't see him, so I don't even know what goes on.
No.
he was jealous of you when you had the so Kenny can dance. He's like, there's his one activity for the several months. I get 3 or 4 weeks.
I did talk to him about that. Love the junior high, everybody. I love it. But if you'd like to come and be a part of that, if you're interested and have a time frame, we're starting at 1 o'clock. We're going till 4 o'clock. You are welcome to stay for the 4 hours, or the 3 hours. I will probably buy you lunch. I'll have a 44-ounce Pepsi for you. Whatever you need, if you want to stay, I'll have beverages and treats there too. But more importantly, I really want to showcase, have our teachers showcase the great work they're doing. They are, our school is amazing. I'm so impressed with our teachers. I get to see it daily, walk through the building and hear instruction happening and see what your students get to see every single day. They're in good hands. We got great teachers, and this is an opportunity for you to come really see firsthand these teachers present and give you a quick lesson. So I'll pass this around. If you can come for a half hour, we'll take you. They're about 10-minute presentations. We're going to have almost every department come in and do that. And anyway, I'll pass this around. If you'd like to sign up for an hour or three, we'll take you for all of it. And that's
where?
It. Right here. And then the last thing with professional development, just as point of mention, everybody knows we've been working with professional learning communities. That's one of the four essential questions I just mentioned. But our biggest goal is student learning. We exist to help students learn. We exist to help students make progress, be successful, help them be making a difference in their lives. And professional learning communities is one of the collaborating together. That's redundant. Collaborating towards student success is one of the methods we use. Well, one of the things that we're doing in the fall is we're bringing in one of the most, I'm trying to say it the right way, he is an expert in his field. He's a practitioner. His name is Mike Mattos. Now, Mike Mattos he's been a principal of two schools that have been very average to low performing. And by using professional learning communities, addressing these questions, focusing on by student, by standard, and reteaching when they're not mastering concepts, and showing that care and interest to help them improve, he's taken two schools to unbelievable successful levels with student proficiency. And so he's part of this national organization called Solution Tree, which is the four essential questions, Rick DeFore, professional learning communities. We're bringing him in August for a day's presentation to our faculty, Orm Junior High's faculty, and four elementary schools. He's also presenting to the entire Orm cluster, so Canyon View and Orm High School and those schools. But we get him for a whole day. It's going to be here in this building. And he's not a theorist. And that's what I love about Mike Mattos. I've heard him present before. He's not going to come in and say, oh, according to my research, this is what you should do. He's coming in and saying, this is what I have done on the ground level, and this is what I've seen, and this is how you can continue to show improvement in your school. Well, he's going to come to our professional development day in August. I just want to invite you now. I would love to have our school community council there to listen to him present, because he really gives you a why of professional learning communities, and that's going to be August 17th. And that's just an invitation, an open invitation to everybody to attend that meeting that day on school community council. But that's all I have.
Is that our first day back?
Yes.
It's a Friday.
I can go to New York.
Is it a Friday? Is it a Friday?
Oh, it's a Thursday.
It's the 16th.
Oh, I'm sorry,
16th.
16th's your first day back.
So the meeting's on the 16th.
So item number 5 was, please sign up if you can come on Monday. Number 6, are there new items that we want to discuss or suggest for later discussion? I'm really trying to get this meeting done by 3:30. I have to leave. Any new business, or should we move to adjourn?
I move to adjourn. I'm sorry. I'll be the one to say move to adjourn.
When is our next meeting?
The
March, the first Wednesday in March. Second Wednesday in March?
Second Wednesday in March, and I'm finding a date right here.
March
14th.
Holy cow. And that's when we get signatures for the trust plan. If you don't come to that meeting, then we'll chase you.
And if you have other topics you'd like to discuss or share, email them to Mike and Mike or me, and we'll discuss it with the agenda, share it out, and then have it on the agenda discussed next time. So.
Do we need to vote to adjourn, or do we just adjourn?
I think just adjourn.
Okay. Okay, we're adjourned.
But let's all be careful out there. Especially in the construction.
Especially if you're walking.
It's a flashback to Hill Street. Thanks,
everybody.